This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Garden Talk here on AM 1170 KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. We have no Ken this morning.
Well, yeah. Hopefully he's going to be celebrating his birthday today.
That is...
I don't know if I'm supposed to announce that.
Well, it's too late.
I know.
So whether you are or
happy
not,
birthday,
it's done.
Happy birthday, Kenny.
Happy birthday, Kenny.
So now everybody knows. I guess I'll check with him and make sure it was okay. We could take it out of the future cast.
Well, yeah. It was my bad.
No,
you know, I like to jump the gun.
I do. Good morning, everybody.
I like to be
good
the,
morning.
The,
How
always
are you?
The bearer of good news.
I'm excellent.
Whether or not it's, I'm good too. Thank you for asking.
Sorry, whether or not. Today, the part of David will be played by Mark. Or some reasonable facsimile thereof.
Exactly. How's everybody?
I'm okay.
I'm doing
it's
well.
It's been a decent week. And, you know, we talk about how warm it's been. My standard go-to is as long as it cools down at night and I can sleep, I'm okay. And the weather changed late this week. And it, what was it, Thursday night, it became cool.
It was cooler
in the evening.
Yeah, it was nice. I enjoyed it myself.
It was actually cool at the nursery yesterday. I mean, relatively speaking,
yes,
it was a lot nicer yesterday outside.
Yeah, it totally different feel, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. You like it.
I like the heat, but I know the plants like it.
Yeah, I do enjoy the heat. I do enjoy the warm weather, and that is something that we get here with limited cold on the other end. But it was nice to feel it. This week, though, it's supposed to warm up a little bit more and get humid again.
That's what they're saying.
Some monsoonals next week, is that what you said?
The monsoonal flow will be back in the mountains and deserts.
Like I said, I have a roof off of one of the backside of my house, so I assume it's going to rain.
Well, if it's going to, it'd be a great time. We need
exactly.
it, so thanks for sacrificing to the rain gods for
that's
us.
That's what I do. It's all about everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know, when I look at you, when I think about you, that's what I always think of. It's always about everybody else.
Exactly.
You're a kind, generous, caring man.
Well.
You're blushing. Oh.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that.
You know, I'd hate to ask. No, I don't hate to ask. Why am I saying that? I didn't see the moon this morning. Was it there? Did anyone see one last night or this morning?
I did not.
I don't know. I saw a headlight.
Oh,
that's all
you know
I saw.
What? If I go over to this dial on the face of my watch, the one that shows the phases of the moon, it's totally darkened out.
Perhaps because there's no moon right now. No visible moon.
Did
it's
I just hear
there.
Howling?
I thought I heard it too.
No, that maybe okay. maybe our engineer
Did you
slash
hear,
producer
it sounded like
was
a
howling.
Wolf howling.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. There are no werewolves outside.
No, I
vampires,
think they're. I think
vampires
they're inside.
Maybe.
I think they're inside. Yeah. If you want to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. So, what did we do this week in the yard garden? What did we have to deal with? What did you come across at the nursery or?
You know, it was a pretty.
Wait a minute.
Oh, go ahead.
You're breaking
way out of line. Do we have any classes coming up this week?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Today, maybe.
Oh, in particular, yeah, 9 o'clock on Saturday morning today.
Today.
At Point Loma, we have a Chuck McClung's coming in to do a class on orchids, getting orchids to rebloom because it is. It's pretty funny. People buy orchids in flower typically, so they know what they look like and. A lot of times they don't get them to come to rebloom.
He's a very good speaker.
He's done
a couple up at the Poway store, and one of the things I like is he cuts to the chase right in the beginning. He said there are these types of orchids, and if you recreate their environments for each one, this is how we get them to rebloom. And then he goes into more detail, but it's a very you know, quick and easy. This is how you get this type to rebloom.
That, yeah, and he's got a book out about that,
right,
too.
And we sell it in both of our stores.
Correct.
What's
correct.
It called? Orchids Rebloom?
How Orchids Rebloom. And that's exactly what he'll be speaking about today.
You know, he was the first person that I've listened to speak that was talking about know the environment that the plants come from so that you know what they like. I've never thought about plants in those terms. I've thought about what we do to make things grow, but I've never thought, well, look at what they want.
Well, you know, it makes sense when you go to botanical gardens and such, they recreate the environment for that specific type of plant and merge them with other plants that do well in that ecosystem.
Oh, it makes perfect sense now that he said it, but I never thought about it that way.
Well, Chuck's always been a sort of a genius to me. I mean, again, that's not saying much.
Well, it is coming from you because you don't generally praise.
True. I mean, but he is so, I mean, and again, he's very down to earth too and explains things very
regular
simply
guy.
Because
and even his book points that his book starts with, look, here, you're buying this because you want orchids to rebloom. I'm going to give you tons of reasons and how to take care of everything. But in the beginning, this is how, you know, here, these five steps, for example, will make your orchids rebloom.
Right.
Bloom.
So it's a five-step program for the orchids.
It might be six. I made that number up just for illustrative purposes. Yes. Do not quote me.
It's funny because I have seen some of the wealthiest people in this county. I've seen there outside the kitchen where they were given an orchid as a gift, and then they didn't want to throw it away because it was a gift. And so they put it outside, and it doesn't ever do anything again.
Sort
but they don't want to throw it away
because
it was a gift.
Right.
And we also get customers that will come in and say, how do I make my orchid rebloom? Well, what kind is it? Oh, I don't know.
The kind you get at the grocery store. That's what the response I typically get.
And it's not in bloom now, so they don't know. But sometimes you walk over to the orchids and they can point out one that looks, oh yeah, it's this kind. But they're out of bloom, so they don't know what it looks like and they don't know what it's going to do.
Exactly.
And we can't, they all take a little bit of different care.
Correct.
Very true.
But it'll be an interesting class,
9 a.m. at Walter Anderson Nursery, 3642 Enterprise Street in San Diego.
That's correct.
Just north of the airport and MCRD.
I think we'll try to bring him up in September, October to Poway.
Okay, you work on that.
So speaking of Poway, today.
Yes. Is there a class there?
There is a class there at 9:30. It's going to be Summer Vegetable Care, or as we wrote on our schedule, Summer Veggie Care with Richard Wright.
Oh, okay. We like Richard, too.
You know, I don't
Good
know.
Man.
Yes. Yes, I don't know why it's acceptable to me, and I always abbreviate it to veggie, but it should be vegetable, shouldn't it?
Well, in the professional world,
Oh, that's why I don't. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
I just wanted to point out why it says veggie as opposed to vegetable.
But, you know, that always brings me to Veggie Tales.
And then you're going to sing?
No.
Okay.
No, thank you. That's what we should have talked to Brendan about. We should have had the Veggie Tales.
The Pirates Who Don't Do Anything?
The Pirates. I wasn't going to sing that.
Everybody has a water buffalo. La, la, no.
Yes. I love Veggie Tales. Well, sorry.
9:30 Poway, Summer Vegetable Care with Richard Wright.
Richard Wright. And he will give you tips on how to, not to, what to, what to look for.
It's hot right now, so a lot of the plants are suffering a little bit. I don't know.
And I wonder if he has that Roy Wilburn tip.
Of don't plant lettuce in August?
No.
Oh.
Just shovel prune it all and replant.
That is a Roy.
Just cycle it out and move it in. Then you don't have to take care of it, which is that fits perfectly with my lifestyle. So I'm adopting the Roy Wilburn method. And then you don't have to go to class. Is that the way we should be approaching it?
No, I think people should come in and have a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Mingle.
See what you still can plant.
And not only that, you can always learn something.
Of course.
No matter how smart one might be.
Seriously?
Yeah. I'm sorry to tell you that.
All right.
Except you.
Yeah. Someone like yourself who knows everything, you couldn't learn. But other people might pull a nugget of information by being there.
Impossible for you to learn.
Not that I have ever thought that I know everything, that I knew everything.
Two-thirds of everything.
But all I have to do, and I've been spending a lot of time visiting my folks lately, and all I have to do is sit down and have a conversation with my dad.
And you can realize that you don't know anything.
You know, when you have kids, they get to the point where they know everything and you're an idiot. And then when you have adults, well, anyway, it's a
circle of life.
It's a circle of life sort of thing.
Yes.
Thank you,
yes.
Mark. And I stopped by there yesterday on the way home and
got to learn a few things.
Got to learn how much I don't know again, which is nice. You know.
Now, was it in the context of you heard things that you truly didn't know, or you were told that you don't know?
You probably weren't even told.
I'll go latter.
Okay.
I'll go latter. It's just the conversation is. Yes. It's just. Anyway, I did notice at my folks' house twice this week, owls came out during the day. It looked like a couple of fledgling owls that were heading out.
Interesting.
And they were just sitting on top of the pool house looking for rodents or something. And then the next day I went by and there was an adult running around. So they don't run around.
I was going to say.
It flew by. I was
sure it wasn't a roadrunner or a...
Yeah, it flew. And it flew silently. So that's how I, you know, run silent, run deep. That's how I knew it was an owl. But it was flying away. It was a different color, and it looked bigger than the other
two
ones.
Fledglings.
And the fledglings weren't small. But it was kind of cool to see them sitting out just saying, hey, what's going on? They know everything. And they were...
Scoped out the area.
They were the...
Do you remember the Mark Twain quote about your father and age?
No, what is it?
Mark Twain once said, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years.
That's so... Well, actually,
when you were telling me about your... That came to mind.
I appreciate that. It brings it home. I knew growing up that he knew a lot. It's now that I realize how much I don't know. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. I just let go.
You paused there for a bit.
Yeah.
It looked like you were going to say something.
Well, I have been told once or twice in my years, probably at my house, to sometimes think before you speak.
Only twice?
In the last 20 minutes. But just real quickly, I want to do a public service announcement. I got a panicked call from my mother yesterday. Just a quick, a lot of us know this for fact and gospel, so we don't worry about it. But she got a call from allegedly my daughter telling her she'd been in a horrible accident and she was had been in surgery and she'd been under arrest and, you know, she's just going to need some money. And then she was given a number to call back and talk to the legal aid person to help her out. So I said, Mom, it's a scam. Just relax. And I hung up and called my daughter and talked to her on her cell phone, which that is one of the beauties of a cell phone. Any other time you wouldn't be able to reach somebody and then the panic. But it was just a total scam of somebody trying to get money. And if, for those who know that that's coming, they know that's coming and it's obviously a scam, but there's people out there that don't know that.
Well, yeah. I mean,
they take advantage of elderly folks.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Naive, and they want to help, you know, people want to help other people, but yeah, it is amazing how people will play on that and take advantage.
Well, with like David and I were talking, social media allows you to have some tidbits of information where you can portray that individual very easily.
So you got to be really careful. Right. I mean, again, I'm no expert on social media by any stretch, but I don't put anything out there because
it's
you
accessible.
Just don't know.
It's
and
accessible.
It's once it's yep. there, it's there. Always yeah. there.
And in the 5 or 10 minutes it took her to call me to bring me in on this horrific incident, she was in tears and she was a mess. Yeah. But it was all just baloney. And she said, I should have known. She called me grandma. And Jacqueline never calls me grandma.
Well, it's so, good that she...
In retrospect.
Yes, but...
So be very wary. If you would like to give us a call and talk garden talk and any other scams coming across your lives... Garden scams. It's 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll talk to you, Larry, when we come back.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170.
That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back, you know, with some songs I know where to sing and where not to sing. And, well, I guess it's just a general rule. Don't sing. But with the new songs, I don't always know.
You don't know when to jump in?
I am.
Don't make me sing.
Don't make me sing. That sounds like a song. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Ken is off celebrating his birthday. And so he will not be joining us this morning. Hopefully he's sleeping in before doing something fun. But before we went into the break, I promised you we would go to Larry in Oceanside. He wants to talk about bacteria citrus, which I don't even know if we want to talk to him about that. Is it too late? Good morning, Larry.
Hey, hey guys. I'm hoping that this is a scam, but I got a email from our mayor of Oceanside. It said that from Camp Pendleton to Carlsbad Village to the ocean to Melrose is a quarantine area for this Asian bacteria thing that's hitting, and they've gotten some trees in Oceanside. And the only antidote is to cut the tree down. And someone has 37 fruit trees and such. What have you heard about it, and what's going on?
Sadly, Larry, it is not a scam. It is real. And I got the email notifications yesterday about the quarantine. It didn't give me many of the specifics, which implies that they have a confirmed find of HLB, Huanglongbing citrus greening disease, in that area. So what you have heard is true, and the infected trees get removed. And I'm not sure, I think it's 1,000 feet or I'm not sure how far from an actual find they start removing citrus trees.
It's carried, that disease is carried by the Asian citrus psyllid.
And it's incurable at this point in time. There is some promising research going on with
Australian finger lime trees.
Thank you. With the Australian finger lime trees. And COVID, of course, has been one of the reasons that the testing has been delayed, so we don't know the results, but they have some very promising treatments with using the Australian finger lime as a treatment, as a spray.
And the insect will you know, eat out of different trees, and if it bites an infected tree and makes it to a non-infected tree, it can carry the bacteria and infect the tree. And that becomes problematic. We've had the insect itself around for a while here, but no indications of the disease until we saw this.
When the Asian citrus psyllid was first found in San Diego County, it's probably been 10 years now, and the Ag Department made a concerted effort to stop the bug, and they were spraying and they were doing treatments around the county for the bug, but they were not able to get a handle on it. And the bug is not a problem unless we have the citrus greening disease that
Correct.
They spread.
Yeah.
And that was found on a tree in Whittier 4 or 5 years ago. Somebody brought in some illegal budwood to do some...
2012.
In 2012, so almost 10 years. Yeah. That's when they found the first tree or the bug?
That's when they found the first HLB disease in Southern California.
It's been 12 years. So
the insect was introduced or found here first in 2008.
You know, just everything's just a few years ago.
It is.
Correct.
Yeah.
But somebody brought in some infected budwood to graft a tree for friends, and that started the disease in Southern California, and the genie is out of the bottle, and it is going to continue spreading. We hadn't had any confirmed finds in San Diego County. Actually, I think there was one close to Fallbrook, but now this sounds like a real one that they have up there. And it's going to keep spreading. And so our only hope is to find a cure or a treatment. It has decimated the citrus crops in Florida and Texas and everything in between. And we had hoped that it wasn't going to get out of control here because my citrus is just coming. I mean, it's hitting its stride. It's coming down the back stretch. And I didn't want the race to end prematurely.
Capri and I were talking about that the other day about, you know, do we want to continue planting additional citrus trees with this lingering out there?
Yes.
And I think so.
Well, yes. I do too. And I said, I don't think it's an issue yet because it hasn't gotten down here. However,
right
now it's, if it is up in
but
ocean,
it's probably still,
it's still
yeah,
controllable
a couple to
at
a
this
few
point.
Years
well,
away.
Well, it takes
from,
5 years
from
to kill the tree once it's found. But I mean, once it's in there, but once, if you find it, you're not going to let it get to be 5 years. You have to get rid of the tree.
Correct.
Do you have the info on the research? I think it's from UC Riverside.
It was UC Riverside. I don't have much more detail in front
but
of me.
But somebody had isolated a gene or something in the Asian or the Australian finger lime that protects it.
Right. It does not seem to be susceptible.
The Australian finger lime is not susceptible. So that's where we're at, Larry. What do you?
Yeah, there's they did find two trees on Gold Street in Oceanside, which is near the back gate at Camp Pendleton. And does that mean when they quarantine that they said you can't transplant anywhere out of the quarantine area, but if you got fruit, I mean, I don't sell it or anything. I just give it away to neighbors and friends.
Well, that's what they're asking you not to do right now, because that can move bugs around. It could be inadvertently, you could have psyllids on the fruit and give it to somebody who doesn't have the problem, and then now you're putting you're helping the bug and the disease to spread.
Now, let me ask you this. The great Lauren Nairn Carroll was a friend of mine, the old weatherman.
Oh, yeah.
TV. He used to tell me all the time that, you know, even when you mow your lawn, is don't put it in the green waste or your branches of your trees, because if it has stuff on it, it just recycles it in the green waste. And he said throw it in the garbage so it gets buried. Should we do that with the fruit as well now?
I would keep all of your citrus on your property and not move it right now.
The University of California IPM says you can, you know, move fruit if it's washed and free of stems and leaves.
Okay.
You know, that may not be. Does it talk about the UCIPM? Is it talking in direct correlation to a?
It's talking about
quarantine,
and it says, yeah, if you, whether you are inside or outside a quarantine area, it says, you know, not to transport wood and such, like as we said, and leaves and all that, but for actual fruit, it says it can be.
Yeah, we have tried to have a lighthearted show here, and then Larry goes and brings us down. Be very careful.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Be very careful, and leaf trimmings and things like that, I would keep on the property right now. That goes for most areas of the county, but especially where they have the find. I was wondering, they had that find right around Christmas, just towards the end of last year, early this year, and I was surprised we hadn't heard anything more, and I was talking to a friend of mine who is in the know about these kinds of things, and having an infected tree doesn't mean the entire tree is affected equally. So when they're doing testing, you can't just pull one leaf off and test it and then know that tree's infected. You have to take multiple, apparently, pieces off of the same tree to ascertain whether that tree is infected or not. And that can become one heck of a
right.
process.
Right.
So, yes, it's here. No, do not move things. George is going to allow you, if you wash and remove stems and leaves, to still share with your friends. Just be very, very careful. It was...
And if you think your tree is diseased, you can go online and look at what the symptoms look like. If you believe it is, there is a hotline that you can call. And I'm sure if you've got that letter from the mayor, that number is probably on that sheet.
They'll be out there
well.
Quick if it's the case.
Yeah. And it does take the symptoms a long time to show up. When this first started showing up, we were seeing things with just trace mineral deficiencies and any anomaly to the tree, people were attributing to citrus greening disease, and it is not ubiquitous here in the county yet. So most likely it is not, but yes, it can be. And the closer you are to ground zero, the more important it is to be careful.
All right. Well, on that happy note.
None of us are. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for calling, Larry. Thanks for bringing
down San Diego.
You know, normally it's David who does that. But I appreciate, Larry, you taking care of that for us.
And now, have a good one, guys.
You too. Thank you. Take care.
Take care. You know, it's a scary thing that's lingering out there.
Yeah. I mean, quarantines are for a reason.
Right.
I mean, and people don't even think about that when
we're talking about citrus at the nursery, because they'll see the tag and I'll explain it to them. Because we have customers regularly that want to buy a tree.
Will this survive in Arizona?
I said, well, probably, but you can't take it to Arizona.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm going to give it to my brother. I'm like, no, he goes, I can get it there.
Your brother shouldn't take it there either.
There's reasons. And again, sometimes you don't think about the reasons and it's like, hey, I'm just going to do what I want to do. But I mean, it is amazing what can start.
And that is that's exactly it. Look at what that one person bringing in Budwood, trying to be helpful to his local community. I believe it was a pomelo. Did that. And now it's unleashed the bad genie.
Right.
It's in Southern California.
Nobody's intention to do that.
No.
But
I don't think so.
Well, I would assume. I could be wrong.
One of the greatest bioterrorism things of all time.
Because they'll wipe out the citrus trees and then everybody gets scurvy.
Yeah.
Was that the big plan?
I'll be a limey. Yeah.
We can go back to leptospermum.
The New Zealand tea.
Now, why is it? Go ahead, give your little factoid.
What? Why is it called a New Zealand tea?
Captain
Cook used the plant to help stave off scurvy with vitamin C in it.
I just figured I'd grow citrus instead.
It's tastier.
it is. Well, I don't know. I've never had tea.
I can only imagine being a lot less, a lot easier to use the citrus than it would be the lepto.
I'm going to go, you know how I can go on tangents. Ken Allen, was that the name of the orangutan that used to escape? Can you just picture me sitting with my leptospermum branches in a corner like Ken Allen, just picking off the leaves and eating them?
Yes, I can.
Can you see me as an
orangutan?
Mm, yeah. Easier than I thought it would be, David. Yeah, it's not that difficult. If you would like to give us a call, hopefully with good news and not Larry-type news, the phone number here is 888-344-1170. Oh, I'm a little premature. Back when this first showed up, when they started checking and testing for the psyllid, I started having that internal debate. Do I even waste my time? But the citrus is so enjoyable. We've gotten so much enjoyment out of it. I've shared a couple of pieces with you guys.
Yes, you have.
Oh, over the years, absolutely. I did have the psyllid on one of my lime trees in Rancho Penasquitos about 5 years ago. And I, you know, saw everything, called the county, spoke with them, and they said, okay, thank you. They said, we don't have the disease here, but thanks for letting us know the psyllids are around.
Well, run along, boy.
Yep, go away.
Run along.
If you develop symptoms, please call us back.
That is part of that problem, but it's like when people hear about things, everybody thinks
the thing that they wanted to know was to make sure that I knew what I was looking at.
Correct.
And I said, I do. I said, I work at the, I went through the whole thing, my professional credentials. And they say, do you want us
like
to send you pictures? And
yesterday?
I said, no, I've got it right here. Here's what it is. And I explained it. And they go, okay, that's definitely it. Let's not worry about it at this
point.
Well,
that's, I mean, like I said, but when people see leaf damage or see
damages,
people regularly coming in with zinc or
magnesium deficiencies in their plants. Say, I have HLB. I have to cut my tree. I'm freaking
most
out.
Most likely you don't, but I'm not saying you don't because I don't know. But yeah, it's not likely yet. Yes.
Right. It's coming. It is spreading. And hopefully this treatment from the University of California, I believe at Riverside, will come to fruition.
Well, fruition, I see what you did
it?
There.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you? Yeah,
no, I'm not.
If you would like to give us a call, the phone number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back. Good morning, San Diego. You are listening to Garden Talk. We are letting the sun shine in, but if I can see clearly through that window, it's still a little overcast in quite a few areas of the county, so the sun might not be shining in yet.
Wait a minute, you can see quite a few areas in the county from that window?
Well, yeah, there's a reflection off that building, and it's going in different directions.
I see,
so
okay.
I can
got
see.
It.
And I guess
hyperbole
you can,
much?
You can get some, some Windex and clean the window and let more sun shine in. All right. You are listening to Garden Talk here on AM 1170 and KPRZ. I am David Ross along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Ken is off today and enjoying himself, so we are allowing that. Before we went into the break, we were having a very sad moment, a somber moment, talking about Asian citrus psyllid destroying the citrus crops here. But let's talk about something much more exciting, shall we? What was Wednesday Wisdom this week?
Wednesday Wisdom. One of the nice things I think I've shared about Wednesday Wisdom is
Wednesday Wisdom?
Wednesday Wisdom is a something we put on our Facebook page usually Wednesday. Sometimes I do a Thursday edition because I get tied up with something. But Wednesday Wisdom is something that interests me because I do it. So something that sparks my interest, I'll throw on there. And this week, Wednesday Wisdom was on bats. And Capri and I were watching the sunset, and all of a sudden, these bats showed up in front of us as they were bantering around.
May I interrupt you for a moment?
Of course.
We have a call about more citrus. So before we go off onto the bat tangent into the bat cave with Batman.
Okay.
Let's go talk citrus with Shirley in Claremont. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning, honey. I thank you very much for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
We're happy to do it. How can we help you?
Well, you were talking about this orange tree disease, and it floored me because here in the last month, I've just been beside myself because I had two grapefruit trees and two orange trees. They're all, they're not hybrids. Very, very old trees beside my house. They all blossomed beautifully. They're just loaded with blossoms. Leaves were beautiful. Then all of a sudden, I looked at this one tree out there, and I noticed that, the leaves are kind of curling up and beginning to fall off. I wonder what's the matter with it. Well, and within 10 days, the tree was dead as a doornail, and I don't know what happened to it. It died. It turned into a shrub that looks like it's been in the middle of the desert for 100 years.
Well, I don't think it's
yeah, the HLB disease takes about 5 years to destroy a tree.
Yeah, so it's not that.
This tree died within a matter of 2 weeks.
Well, that's unusual, I would think. But,
and I want to know what caused it. The healthy, beautiful tree had little oranges on it the size of a big grape.
How often was that tree watered, and how was it watered?
I watered it. I have a little sprinkler system out there, and I water it probably at least once a week, very thoroughly, about half an hour once a week at least. Sometimes more when it's been
when
so
you
dry.
When you say little sprinkler system, is it a drip irrigation system?
No, it's okay. A spray system.
It probably needed more water. And another couple of things that even if it's getting adequate water that can contribute to a decline and a collapse like you're describing, scale, insects that get on there and take a lot of the energy away from the plant, even no matter how much you're watering, if you have an infestation, that will harm it. And I've also had to deal with gophers taking out a significant portion of the root system on one tree in particular.
When it happens that quickly?
Did you notice a lot of ants by chance up and down the tree?
No. Okay. No, okay. I didn't.
I would look at insects, gophers, or just that they're not getting enough water. That would be the only...
And it hasn't been sprayed with anything.
Particularly this time of year. I mean, if the tree is surviving but not thriving, and then all of a sudden it gets really hot and there's not enough moisture.
It hasn't been sprayed with anything or...
Neighbors that may have sprayed an herbicide?
No, I haven't. I didn't spray it at all. I haven't sprayed it at all. It just I just watered it with my spray, just like they have on lawns. You know, you have a sprinkler system that's in the lawn.
That's usually not adequate.
That's what I had alongside the house.
If it's an old tree, I mean, lawn watering isn't.
Yeah, lawn water is typically not adequate for a big tree.
But it probably needed longer or more. Right. I think you said it was being sprinkled like a lawn sprinkler. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, it's a lawn sprinkler. Out how it's, you know, how it sprays on the lawn,
yeah.
And that's the way it was out there. And I would when I'd run the water out there, I'd run it between a half hour and 45 minutes. I mean, it was soaked.
Well, it soaked. The roots may have outrun the coverage, so it may have needed a longer soaking over a wider area now that the tree is older. In Claremont, it shouldn't have needed it more than once a week. But for it to dry up like that, either it is not enough water, it is an insect problem, a gopher problem, or a combination thereof. But those would be the most likely reasons
for
it.
And how can I tell what it was? I don't want it to happen to my other trees.
Well, you're going to have to go out and investigate it. We can't tell you because we don't know. We're not there, but it sounds like the things that he, dig in the soil and
see
what's going on.
Dig next to the tree and see if it's wet after the watering or if there are holes underneath from gophers chewing the roots.
Now that it's dead, I'd go about 4 or 5 feet out from the trunk of the tree and I'd dig down a couple of feet and see how much moisture there is actually in the soil. And, I mean, if it is saturated, if it's sopping wet, that could have killed it. Otherwise, take some of the dead branches and bring them into the nursery, and we'll take a look and see if there's any bug problems on there. But those are the
want an investigation as to what caused this tree to die. To go from a beautiful tree just coming out with beautiful fruit, it was in 2 weeks be stone dead.
Yeah, it's almost impossible for that to happen. So
the only other possibility that I can think of would be that. Maybe one of your neighbors doesn't like that tree very much and they could have sprayed it with something. That's unlikely, but it's possible. Thank you very much for the call, Shirley. Bring us some pieces and we'll see
we'll
if we can
figure
it out. Now,
I'll bring it too.
All righty.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess we hit a nerve with the citrus thing.
Yeah. But it's okay. It's all good.
Head down to... out to Flint Springs. Michael in Flint Springs, is the sun shining out there?
Oh, no, it's a little overcast right now out here. It's nice and cool, but that lady you're talking to, I have the same problem. I have some nice lemon trees, and they just died out. First one died out, I pulled it out and replaced it. Now I got two more lemon trees. It killed them really quick. I sprayed them. I took some pieces down there on Pacific Highway, have them checked out with you guys, and they just to spray them. So I've been spraying them and everything out, and it has been dying. Now the orange tree died.
Well, it's got to be something going on in the root system. I mean, citrus just doesn't die. You know what I mean? You need to figure out what's going on with the watering or.
Flint Springs, you might have
watering.
Some gophers out there. But,
oh, yeah, it's possible. Like I said,
Gophers, but and then I have those other things, moles, a lot of moles.
Okay.
And those things are going to do damage.
I've been watering really good, and I sprayed it with Captain's Jack, and I washed it all down, and it just, man, like that lady says, it's the same problem. I got over here, and it just died.
Well, dig into the ground. Like I said, it's got to be something going on in the root system. It's not, unless it gets
in the absence of insects all over the tree the irrigation breaking.
I had some aphids, and
they're not going to kill it.
They said down there.
And Captain Jack's won't do anything for
Captain
aphids,
Jack's
by the way.
Is not going to help you at all for that.
So what I would do, Michael, is once a year, whether you see bugs on it, and this is for everybody out there, whether you see insects on your citrus trees or not, I would start spraying your citrus trees once a year with horticultural oil. Now is not the best month of the year to do it.
Right.
It'd be better to do it earlier or later. But the Monterey horticultural oil is safe to use up over 90 degrees, so you still could. But frequently there are insect problems on citrus trees that you don't even see.
Correct.
And normally we don't recommend spraying for something you don't see. But the horticultural oil is only a suffocant. It's only going to kill by smothering. So you're safe to use it on an edible.
It's not a poison. It's not a poison.
And frequently, well, remember this whole thing with citrus started years ago with Larry in Oceanside. Remember his lemon tree was dying.
And it came back.
And it came back because he sprayed it with horticultural oil.
Bad case of scale all over it.
So, and then on a new tree, they're going to need so much. They're going to need frequent shallow irrigations on younger trees, new ones that go in.
Especially out there.
And the only thing that's going to wipe out a tree right away after a transplant or a new tree that's first summer in the ground is most likely, I say the only thing, the most common cause is a lack of water.
Correct.
Right.
And you've been growing trees for a long time, so you have a little more experience with it than most other people. But the frequent shallow irrigations of new trees and less frequent deeper irrigations of the established trees are what are required. And spraying with oil, take care of the bugs, and watching for rodents, no matter how much water I put on my ponkan, it was still wilting because the root system was compromised by gophers, and I didn't see them. I couldn't see the mounds because there was mulch under the tree. And when I finally found it, and I've gotten two gophers from under that tree, the tree's better. It's still not as good as the rest of the trees in the row, but it's better now.
Yeah.
We're going to have to take a break, Michael. I hope that answers your question. If you want to give us a call, the phone number here is 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. You're listening to Garden Talk on AM 1170 and KPRZ. We'll be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
The weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew,
the minnow would be lost. All right, you're not going to sing.
I want to keep the seven listeners.
Welcome, welcome back to Garden Talk here on AM 1170 KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Ken is off celebrating getting older. I guess we're getting to
another
that point.
Another trip around the sun.
Around the sun.
So
people might ask why we were listening to Gilligan's Island theme there.
And we're going
to
get there, I think. It's a segue of sort. Okay. So back to bats.
Yes, sir.
Back to bats. So Capri and I were sitting on the porch watching a bunch of bats, you know, dart around the front yard eating insects. And so
I saw them eating insects?
Absolutely. I have keen insight for an older man.
Okay, so, go ahead.
But I started thinking, I don't know a lot about bats in San Diego or how many species or, you know, what we have here. So I did a little research, hence this week's Wednesday Wisdom. And we have 23 bat species in San Diego County. There are 951 species in the world. Of the 23 that we have here, 21 of them are insectosaurs. They eat insects. Two of them are nectars.
Insectosaur?
Insectosauruses.
Okay.
Of interest, there are three species that drink blood.
In San Diego County?
No, those are in Transylvania. No, okay. Those are actually in Mexico and South America. But
do they observe borders?
They do not.
So they could have come up.
They have COVID passports.
Okay, but we do not have...
We do not have blood-sucking or blood-eating bats in San Diego County.
Okay.
Anyway, they're very useful. San Diego Zoo has a very good webpage, which we link to on our Facebook page, talking about how useful they are as pollinators. And they pollinate flowers, cacti. This is the one I didn't know, that they do avocados, bananas, dates, and mangoes. And peaches.
Do they decide?
I guess what's in season.
You know, you don't usually see bats during peach blooming season because it's cold.
It's colder, yeah.
But I do enjoy seeing the bats because I'm assuming they are eating insects. I don't have the keen eyesight you do, so I can't see them eating them, but they are doing the motions and flying around. So I am assuming darting about. However, why the Gilligan's Island song?
So you and I discussed this after I posted it, and we were bantering about bats and how useful they are, et cetera, et cetera. And then the next morning, coincidentally, you had come in. So tell your story about bats.
So I, every night, go down to lock up my chickens to make sure the raccoons don't get through the fence and wreak havoc upon my chickens. And I have a spotlight, and so as I go down the driveway, I'm looking for what kind of creatures run across the yard. Usually it's skunks and possums, but this time there was a bat right in front of me, and it was hanging in front of me, kind of, it looked like it was suspended. It was flapping its wings,
looking at the light, probably looking for insects in the light.
But I think I assume, because they fly around me, that they are seeing me through their echolocation, and so they're checking out what the big bug is. But it was hanging out right in front of me. It looked like it was kind of just suspended there, which reminded me of a Gilligan's Island episode where they had vampire bats on the island, and they were...
Yeah, and I don't think you said Gilligan's Island. You first said it reminded me of a show where the bat was hanging in front, and then I said the Gilligan's Island episode or something like that.
I'll give you credit. I don't think it's due, but I'll give it to you.
The Gilligan's Island episode.
And that is exactly what this bat looked like. It was so fake the way it was sitting in front of me, just kind of hovering there. It looked like it was on the string from the episode of Gilligan's Island, and so.
Hence. See, I would have thought of Grandpa from the Munsters, but that's okay.
Oh, that's another good one.
Oh, that
too.
Is a good one.
Very good. But didn't think about that.
Either
one.
Way, but I remember both of those shows. So,
right.
Thank you for bringing it back. But so anyway, that's hence Gilligan's Island, relating to bats,
which are good and we like them and they're useful in our county.
Exactly, because bats like spiders. Most of our bats, like spiders, eat insects.
Correct. 23 species.
They help us not to be overridden with insects. That's how we tie this into, and pollinating.
And pollinating, yeah. Okay. Very, very useful in pollinating. That's how we tie it all together. But, you know, some bats eat, in addition to nectar and insects, some eat fish, frogs, some eat other bats. The biggest bat in the world has a 6-foot wingspread.
That'd be a big bat.
That's a big bat. That's the one you hope.
There's
not
one of those in San Diego, correct?
No, you are correct. You'd have to go out one night with your spotlight.
Exactly.
Right, that would be frightening.
And I remember as a kid, my neighbors had, we all had avocado trees, but they had caught a bat in an avocado picker. They thought they were picking an avocado from way up top, and we went down to take it out. It was a bat, and I'd never thought about that's the only other time I've thought about bats and avocados. I didn't know they were pollinators.
Funny story. Well, I thought it was a funny story. When I was like 7 years old in Syracuse, New York, there was a bat in our mailbox. Which was kind of strange.
That is strange. I thought you were going to say you had avocado trees in Syracuse, New York, which would have been even stranger.
What is even more strange is, I won't even say it, but yeah, the way my dad took care of it.
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah. That was kind of interesting. At any rate.
A nice childhood memory.
Yeah. And it's funny because I hadn't thought about it until just now.
I'm sorry. We have to leave bats and go to Andy in El Cajon and see New Guinea impatiens question. Andy, good morning.
Good morning. I have a quick question. I've been in the landscape industry for many years here in San Diego County. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, we used to buy New Guinea impatiens. But they would grow to like 3 foot tall, some of them even a little bit larger. And now you never can find those in any nursery. I even go to your nursery in Point Loma and looked around, but I never find them. What's the story on that?
Breeding and wanting more flowers in a smaller package, most likely. I haven't noticed that, but now that you say that,
it's true.
That's true.
It's funny what we see go through and then don't even think about it. But New Guinea impatiens used to be huge. And I mean, to be honest with you, I don't even know if I've had anybody talk about New Guinea impatiens.
They're sun impatiens now, right?
They've changed the name from New Guinea impatiens to sun impatiens now.
I think they have fallen out of favor for the smaller ones, which will give you more flower in a more compact space so that they can sell more at the nursery, and that's why the bigger ones have disappeared. But the big variegated ones that would get 2 to 3 feet tall were gorgeous. You're absolutely right. I hadn't thought about those until just now.
Until you brought it up, but it's the truth. And things like that happen all the time. They keep changing and hybridizing. And
things fall out of favor. And if there's not a big demand for it, the growers aren't going to grow it either.
Yeah, and they kind of lead lead by growing new things. And I don't know. I wish I had a good answer for you. Don't really have one.
That sounds understandable. Is there any way to get seed for that?
I haven't looked for it. We don't sell it in our seed racks, but you might be able to find it online.
Yeah.
I would take a look online and see if you can find them. We only have a minute left, Andy, and we have one more call, so we're going to have to cut you loose.
Yeah,
thanks for calling, and you could give us a call at the nursery.
Call the nursery,
too,
please.
Bob, quick citrus question in Otay Mesa. Good morning, Bob.
Yeah, you mentioned a young citrus tree. In years, what is a young citrus tree?
Well, in years, it's less than 2 summers in the ground is a young citrus tree. And it doesn't matter what size it is, or relatively what size it is when it comes out of the nursery, but it's years in the ground. Once they've been in the ground for 2 years, they are established, and then they become an older tree. 3 to 5 years in the ground is more of an established tree, unless you're going to the big boxes, the big box trees. That's going to do it for another week of, or another morning of Garden Talk. Bob, we have to let you go because we're running out of time. It is a week. Auto Talk is coming up next. Hope everybody has a great weekend and a great coming week.
Thank you. By Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.